This is Marshall Masters for Yowza.com. That's YOWUSA.com. And today we're going to cut to the chase with Bob Fletcher.
Suddenly I opened my eyes and I saw through the world in sky. And then it occurred to no difference between the lies and the truth.
Well, hello there, Yowza subscribers and listeners at large. I'm beginning 2015 with a very important interview for all of you who follow my work. This interview is with Planet X researcher Bob Fletcher, the author of the incoming DVD series. Very good. I recommend it to you. In this interview, he's going to share with you a prediction of how our government is eventually going to signal us months before the Planet X system is visible to everyone on the planet. It is not going to be an honest announcement, nor will it be a noble one, for any reason. Rather, it will be a signal for those of us in awareness that the appearance of the Planet X system is only months away. I also want to tell you that we recorded this interview before the first of the year. At that time, Bob gave me a very serious prediction, and he said that his prediction would come to pass within a matter of weeks. Now, this is what he wanted to say in the interview, and in all honesty, I must tell you, my listeners, that I instructed him to say it would happen within a matter of months, not weeks. This was for two reasons. First, when you make a prediction that is date-based, if it does not happen, you are lambasted by trolls and cranks. Consequently, whatever your good intentions were, they will be swept aside with slanderous attacks. So, this was a concern. However, of more importance to me was to see if his prediction that he said would come to pass in a matter of weeks would. This is because it was more important to me with regards to Planet X than current politics. For the record, it happened exactly as Bob Fletcher said it would, and what he predicted was this, that within 2 weeks following the disclosures of CIA torture practices in Gitmo, that we would see a major Islamic fundamentalist terror attack outside of the Middle East. In nearly 2 weeks after the interview you are now going to hear was recorded, came that attack on a French satirical weekly newspaper. 12 people were killed and 11 injured. And as Bob also predicted, there would be concerns of a false flag attack. Those concerns have been voiced. And unfortunately, it was followed by an attack on a kosher grocery in Paris, where 4 more died at the hands of a compatriot of the newspaper attackers. For this reason, I am now going on record as saying that the prediction of Bob Fletcher, which I chose not to air, was fulfilled exactly as he said it to me. Furthermore, the information you are going to hear in this interview will put a whole new context on these tragic events for those of us in awareness and who wonder when, if ever, our government will disclose what it is long known about the incoming Planet X system. In terms of Planet X system observations, we're presently getting a steady stream of Planet X smartphone pictures and, of course, the old friend of a friend pictures taken a year ago. We're basically ignoring them. This is because the Planet X system is currently in conjunction. This means it is directly opposite the Earth on the other side of the Sun beyond the orbit of Jupiter. That being said, we did report the last viable observations of planets in the Planet X system on November 6, 2014, with our Yowza.com Planet X System Update Number 1. So, when the Planet X system does come out from behind the Sun, we'll all see it. However, given that the Planet X system is in conjunction behind our Sun and out of sight for now, This does not mean there isn't any interesting news. There is. It's a recent announcement by mainstream astronomers that I believe is of vital interest to one and all, and we'll get deep into that later on. I guarantee. In the meantime, I'm focused on how we will survive what we do eventually see coming out from behind the sun. This is why I've devoted my energy since last November to the one survival topic that, as a former Army medic, means the most to me: keeping healthy survivors healthy. The first step in this mission change was a major upgrade of my feelbetteronyourown.com website, which I have just completed. Please go take a look at it. Likewise, I've just published my newest book, Survival Wellness Advocacy, and I'm going to talk about that later on in this program as well. Lastly, I'll tell you what you'll see with the coming major upgrade of Yowza.com, and what is next up on Cut to the Chase. As you can see, this is going to be a packed show, as we've got lots to talk about. So, let's get into it with Bob Fletcher.
Get a job, pay your taxes, pay your dues. You can live any way that you want to, as long as you don't break any of their rules.
This is Marshall, and I'm on with Bob Fletcher, and he's the fellow who put together that amazing DVD on Planet X called Incoming. Bob, welcome to Cut to the Chase.
Oh, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
We're going to be taking a look at 2015 and what we see coming down the pike in terms of possibilities. And with that in mind, Bob is here direct from Mama Yablonsky's Vegetarian Poodle Clipping and Psychic Reading Emporium.
Gosh, that's pretty scary.
That's pretty scary. How's Mama Yablonsky doing?
I have no idea. You know, it used to be Mother Fletcher, you know, my name being Fletcher. You know, they used to do, Jackie Gleason used to do a Mother Fletcher's Boccheroni cheese or something like that. But that really dates me, because most people don't even know who that is. Anyhow, I'm here from beautiful downtown Idaho.
There you go. Well, say hello to Mama Yablonsky for me. And looking at 2015 and what's coming down the pike in terms of Planet X and consequences, and looking forward into 2015, do you really see disclosure on the horizon? Is our government actually going to come clean with us about this at any one time?
No, that's not going to happen at all. Now, it's my schooled opinion, particularly with being involved with exposing covert operations for really 30 years now. And that's how I came to this, because I was looking for the vanishing money. All this huge amount of money vanished.
Where's the gold?
The gold is gone. Our general funds have been vanishing from standard, what we would call legitimatized budgeting of a variety of operations in government, and giant lumps of that have been transferred over the 10, 15, 20 years. I mean, really big money, not just a few million that some of these guys covertly steal so they can build a new place in Tahiti, but we're talking about bad guys in government taking trillions and billions of dollars out over the last 10, 20 years of very large budgeted operations, and the money, you know, ending up where it's supposed to be $10 billion into something, and it ends up that only $10 million or billions applied, and then there's $10 billion vanished into the air. So I started looking into it, and we ended up coming up with what you had already been looking into for several years, and that was the potential of Planet X or Nibiru coming back in, and they have taken the funds and put underground building survival operations for a limited few. Now, what goes right along with that is the idea that at no time can the government come out and genuinely do one of these my fellow American speeches, we have bad news. But so they're not ever. Some people said, "Oh, when do you think they're going to tell us?" And they're going to. A lot of people originally were saying, "Well, they'll be down underneath, and then they're going to tell us." And I even thought that might be a possibility until I really got into it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did, I realized that at no time is the government going to come forward and tell officially the world that this is coming back to disrupt Earth. They're not going to do it.
That is the scenario for the movie 2012. All everybody in the world doesn't know they're dying until the day the guacamole hits the fan.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, interestingly enough, which was, by the way, the movie that Marshall's referring to is titled or called 2012. That was the title of it. It was done and released in 2010. All right. Now, actually, unfortunately, I believe an awful lot of that is extremely close to the reality of what has been happening and what is going to happen in the future.
Me too.
There have been many people that have been exposing or studying this and were reliable, verifiable, and they have died mysteriously, gone into one of these strange, on the list of unusual deaths, and it includes not just people that were reporters, but it includes government officials that potentially can be linked to this, and these were people that might have been on that list, on the bad guys list, so to speak, to use blunt terms, and saying that this person here might shoot their mouth off. We've got to get rid of them, because the public cannot know that this is coming in. Everybody would go completely all over the edge. I visually had seen like some of the rioting situation in Los Angeles. I wasn't living there at the time, but my family was, some of my family. And I did see the reality that a lot of people didn't even know when they had these racially motivated riots many years ago in Los Angeles. There was whole city blocks aflame in Los Angeles from that. I mean, this was very, very bad. The firemen were being shot at when they arrived. There were people hit and killed and injured. That's just scratching the surface. If you've ever seen an extreme motion picture showing a rioting out of control in a major city, that will take place globally if and when they ever made this announcement. And bearing that in mind, the bad guys, the limited few that have been pulling everybody's strings and controlling things for so long and have access to our money, those folks have to be underground, completely in their hideaway facilities. From their point of view, they have to be there before people really find out. Now, how does that go about? How do they maintain control of the general public up on the ground, up on the surface, when they get hiding down underground?
All right, well, let's do this. Let's say that in 2015, then since we're not going to have disclosure, what we can look for is some kind of political harbinger sign that tells us that we're in a short-term thing. In other words, within maybe months or a year.
I'm going to say a six-month advance.
A six-month advance. So let's then say 6 months in advance of the Planet X system becoming visible to everyone on the face of Earth. What would we see as a harbinger sign in advance of that day when we're all standing out in the street and pointing up at the sky and pooping our collective pants?
It's going to have to be the Declaration of Martial Law in the United States of America. Now, I'm concerned about my own backyard. I don't mean that in reality. I worry about every living soul on the face of the globe, but the bottom line is talking about the manner by which America, scurrilous characters in control, what do they have to do and what will they do that's going to tell us for sure, not maybe, but for sure, that we have some kind of a short-term situation.
You're going to give us a dead bang, smoking gun, harbinger sign, and that when we see this political event happen, then we can expect within a period of 6 months after that.
That's my guess.
That all of a sudden, everyone's going to know, well, the other shoe's going to fall. They're going to know why.
They're going to be pointing to the sky and saying, what is that? We have this thing that's up there, and it's getting bigger every night.
Right.
From our visual context. Okay, so what is that going to be?
Give me the harbinger.
Okay, they're going to have to do, this is important now because I'm using their own descriptions of these possibilities, written themselves with a major study done in the 60s, believe it or not, genuinely originally done by Kennedy, and it wasn't even finished. This report that I'm referring to wasn't finished until after his death and was delivered to the guy Johnson, who inherited the presidency. All right, and that was a report from Iron Mountain.
For the listener out there, what is Iron Mountain?
Here's what Iron Mountain is. To my surprise, that was a real report. It was created and put together on the principle of what do the one world government proponents, what do they have to do in order to move the United States under a one world banner? And they listed what they would artificially create, what scare tactics would they have to utilize. Now, things have shifted. Things have shifted in this where it's no longer the application of what I'm about to say in relative to taking over, total announcing that they're now moving into a one-world government. That's been on the back shelf now for about at least probably 20 to 15 years. What they will have to do is come up with a reason to declare martial law. And in this report that was done originally on the basis of how to move us under control for a world government, is now will be applied to the martial law. And it has to be an excuse in their own writings big enough to have martial law acceptable to the average American. You know, you can't, well, of course, Obama's been doing things just on his own under executive orders. He doesn't seem to care what anybody else even thinks about. But putting that aside, because it's not a partisan thing, putting that totally on the back burner, it has to be meaningful enough where the average American worries for the life of himself or his family. It has to be a life-threatening event. So now we say, okay, we come up to modern times now, I say move forward here 50 years, and we say, all right, it's got to be something like a disease like Ebola spreading profusely throughout the country. That would be so easy to do martial law with that as the banner under which they did it. Or number two, a major terrorist events, using that plural, major terrorist events believable enough to be life-threatening across the United States. Now, we have watched recently the creation of ISIS, which is probably the most demonic group that I have ever seen in my lifetime in terms of the way they're running across all of the nation, all of the particular city-states, etc., in the Arabian area, throughout the Arab world. All right, cutting off heads, throwing babies against the wall, and doing all those items.
They are sick, twisted people.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievably sick and twisted.
So, now, that's a serious threat.
Mm-hmm.
What all of a sudden, all they would need is something that has now been handed to them for the next, that will have repercussions over the next 6 months, maybe, I'm not even going to say a year, the next immediate 6-7 months in our future.
Okay, now before you get into that,
sure,
let's just quickly review, because we're at the end of this segment, and we're going to pick that up when we come into the next segment. But at this point, what you are saying so far is that there will be absolutely no disclosure by our government of the incoming Planet X system. That when we see it, we're going to go nuts because we're going to be completely unprepared as a result of a consistent program of suppression and disinformation. That's one. Two, that the only harbinger we're going to have of the day when everyone on the planet will be able to see this coming in, and as you said, it'll be growing larger and larger by the day in the sky, will be a major political crisis, and that this crisis will precede that day when we're all standing out and seeing it for the first time by 6 months. And what you've just said is that the seed of that harbinger event has been planted. And with that, we're going to talk about the seed of this political harbinger event in the next segment. So hang with me.
Okay.
We'll get back to Bob shortly, but in the meantime, I'm proud to announce my latest book and my first for 2015. It's titled Survival Wellness Advocacy, Keeping Healthy Survivors Healthy, and it is now available on Amazon.com. In a nutshell, Survival Wellness Advocacy, or SWA for short, is a vocational calling for those in awareness who seek to answer the fundamental question. What can I do to be useful to any survival community? For those who lack obvious survival vocational skills, such as gunsmithing, farming, off-the-grid energy engineering, and ham radio operation, Survival Wellness Advocacy offers a fast-track way to acquire an equally useful survival vocational skill. This is something I've been working on since early 2013. Even back then, I could see the problems many of you who follow my work are having with your own planning and preparation. Trust me, I know from personal experience how daunting it is for those of you who are not fortunate enough to be married or in a committed relationship with someone who is equally aware. Rather, 80% of you are living with a significant other or spouse who is in denial. And oh my, how that creates problems. It seems like every time you want to buy a can of beans to stash in the garage, it brings on an argument. As I often say, we live in a country where people subscribe to the notion that a one-eyed man is king in the land of the blind. But in reality, we live in a country of blind people who scream at us, "Hey, get a sharp stick and poke out your one good eye so you can be intelligently blind like we are." And if fighting over a few can of beans is hard, moving to a safer location is a nightmare. That's why I call it busting a move, because you wind up busting up your life, if not your marriage as well. It happened to me, and I know it has happened to a lot of you out there as well. This is why I have created the concept of survival wellness advocacy. It is something you can do that will help you avoid these denial issues with a spouse or significant other in denial. This is because it will give you a pathway to a survival vocational skill that can make you valuable to any survival community you may want to join, with something that will appear perfectly logical and sane to someone in denial. This way, you can prepare on the quiet side, if you will, to survive the coming tribulation with like-minded others. For those of you interested in the concept, next month I will begin giving online webinars and doing meetups on the topic of survival wellness advocacy. This is because we have transitioned from what I call the period of awareness, which basically came to a close on December 21, 2012, to what I now refer to as the gathering. Simply put, the time has come for those of us who are in awareness and who are responsible for our awareness to come together in fellowship for a noble purpose. To learn more about Survival Wellness Advocacy and for future announcements about webinars and meetups, visit feelbetteronyourown.com. That's feelbetteronyourown.com. And with that, let's get back into it with Bob Fletcher. This is Marshall, and I'm back on with Bob Fletcher, and now we're going to talk about this political harbinger event that's going to precede the day when everyone's looking up in the sky going, hey, Harriet, you ever seen anything like that? And the seed of this political harbinger event, as you alluded in the last segment, has been planted. With that in mind, water the seed, Bob.
The seed, of course, is the fact that they've come forward right straight out of the back rooms where they have had this huge investigation for a couple of years now related to the activities of the Central Intelligence Agency down in basically primarily Guantanamo, although they do have many other locations where they carried out these disgusting events. What we had was Senator Feinstein from the California area, and she came out and said, we want to apologize to the world that the Central Intelligence Agency had gotten out of hand and did the following absolutely immoral, scurrilous, disgusting, vulgar activities to the people that they were questioning down in Guantanamo Bay. Now, here's what this represents, and basically is this. We have this outrageous ISIS immoral group that I'm going to refer to. This is my opinion and my thoughts on this, folks, and they are really outrageous. These people are like Attila the Hun, for crying out loud, 3,000 years ago doing the stuff that these people are doing. All right? Their big deal is to try to get the world convinced that the United States of America is more disgusting than they are. And Feinstein, the senator, comes out and says, they're right. They come out, and right now, at this point in time, where everybody's walking on eggs with this ISIS group, nobody knows how crazy or how far out they're going to go. This ISIS group is looking for a manner by which they can bring in recruit people all over the world, and they successfully did it recently with a couple of screwballs just in New York City that took axes and battle axes and hammers to our police officers. Two or three of them. One guy was just sitting in his car, and they put an axe right through his window, and that was a guy that just watched television news and saw the ISIS people over there in the Arabian states calling for people to pick up an axe and go out and hit a cop. And they did it. Well, now what do we have? We have the head of the Intelligence Committee for the Senate comes forward with a 6,000-page study that this is like throwing 5 gallons of gasoline on a small burning flame. And that's the ISIS group. We have now given that group everything they would ever need to recruit every screwball, left-wing, total wacko person that's walking the face of the earth a reason to join them. I can't believe that we came out at that official level and said, yes, we are doing things, and then describe them. And I'm not even going to describe them. They already described them on the news, and the ISIS complete insane people over there, and they're going to use every word out of our mouths over here at the highest level of Washington, D.C., as a perfect excuse to gather in crazy people to jump on board with them. So how does this affect Nibiru coming in?
Yeah,
Is this something where this announcement is a situation where the best way to control spin is to be the first one to get it out there so you can control the message and ratchet down the negative effects? Or was this information malevolently dispersed for a different reason?
I have been involved with chasing these people and analyzing and researching and exposing at the very highest level that I possibly could, and that was by literally being a federal witness in three different situations, probably more than that, but I've been involved with as many as 10 major inquiries of the Senate and the Congress over the last 30 years since being dragged into this mess in 87. And I know one thing, which is a reality. Nothing happens in politics up there at the highest level. Nothing happens by mistake and by coincidence or by accident. Everything is done intentionally, all right? Now, there may be a lot of other miscellaneous things that fall into this this particular situation, but it was done intentionally. So then you have to say, well, you know, and there's a lot of different possibilities of intent. And you just have to realize it was done on purpose, all right, period.
Okay, so this result, the timing of it is not accidental. It's not about a need to bring it out. It's not about a spinmeister saying the best thing for us to do is to get it out there first so that we can control it. What you are clearly saying is that this information, this damning information about what we've been doing in Gitmo, is coming out to fuel a crisis vis-a-vis ISIS.
That's absolutely the situation. Like, again, they're going to have to do martial law. There's no question about it. There's no other way to have a physical controlling factor across the country.
Mm-hmm.
See, this not only does it include the potential, obviously, of National Guard and regular military troops under the banner of martial law, all right?
Mm-hmm.
See, it also drags in all those police and the sheriffs and all that we have been supplying with outrageous weapons to control the mass public. We've been doing that for 20 years under the table, so to speak, supplying them with grenade launchers and tanks and personnel carriers and water tanks and all of that kind of stuff, electronic weapons of control. All of that has been moving in by the shiploads, for crying out loud, for many years into the police and sheriffs. Their only deal at that level, and I have to point this out so people understand something, the only deal on the side, so to speak, when they supplied all these weapons to little police and sheriff forces, weapons they normally couldn't even afford, they got them for almost free. But all the little sidebar was that if there ever was a federally required obligation for them to help to control civilians, wherever they are, to come on board, that they would utilize their equipment and their education that they're getting for free almost, and they would have to sign that they would come on board. And, of course, the local sheriff, who just loves having grenade launchers, for crying out loud, they would say, okay, that's fine. Where do I sign, and when are they going to ship me my personnel carriers? Okay, so that's the sidebar people are not totally aware of. But now we get back to our problem. All right, so they now announce, in a manner, like I just said a few minutes ago, in a manner such that ISIS is going to expand like crazy. I believe we will end up, there's going to be one of three items, and that is extreme physical terrorism across the country whenever it becomes necessary. See, now, we're never going to know if it's false flag operations with covert people from the inside of our own government carrying out these outrageous events that I will guarantee you we're going to look forward to, going to happen.
What kind of events? Give us an example.
So you have to be careful. I don't want anybody coming back and say that they thought that I was involved with something, because I'm talking about what I perceive to be the possibility. but I believe probably, or the potential of biological problems, like I said, spreading some kind of a disease, which is a two-sided coin. Not only is it terrorism, but that also is a wonderful manner by which to scare people into accommodating martial law, all right? That's unto itself, the disease. We are looking at possibility of crazy people shooting up, taking hostages and doing that kind of stuff in many states at one time. We're also looking at the potential of course, the explosion, blowing up stuff in different parts of the United States in a short period of time, and again, in several places across the country. All right. Now, all these things, obviously, number one, ISIS is going to get an increase. You can guarantee this. Take it to the bank. They're going to increase in their size, and people cooperating with them, with their crazy stuff, all over the globe. In my opinion, in a shorter period of time, you're going to see the increase, announced, glorious increase in the size of activities and screwballs jumping off of the fence onto the side of ISIS, and it's going to be totally using this outrageous announcement by Feinstein the other day that we froze prisoners to death, we tied them to the floor and disclosed them and let them lay there when it was freezing and literally froze them to death. We had a situation where 25 or more of them were known to have been picked up, had nothing to do with anything, and they were tortured and then even kept for several months after they found out they should have been let go. Then they let them go, but just keep them around for another few months. What the heck, you know, that kind of an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, this is nothing new. This is a big deal. John Stockwell, a CIA head running the embassy in Angola in 1960 and 70, that period of time, early 70s, he came forward and became one of the first whistleblowers and said that when he went to the embassy in Angola, he couldn't do his work because of the people they were screaming so loud in the basement from having their fingernails pulled out. And this guy, John Stockwell, people don't want to look it up, look it up. This guy was one of the early whistleblowers in the CIA. I did speaking engagements with him back in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what I'm saying with that is none of this junk that the CIA is now waving around, this apology, synthetic apology about, it's none of this is new. They've been doing it for a long time. People are different. The location's a little different. And that changes on a regular basis. By the way, they were also doing this torturing I'm talking about now, the present-day stuff. They've been doing that in about five locations, cooperatively overseas in many locations with other governments. All right? Why in the world would they come out with it now? It's going to be their excuse to open the door for expanded terrorism, number one. Number two, martial law to control it. End of story. And that'll be in place. So I said this on my DVD as well. When they declare martial law, you can mark it on your calendar. Is going to probably be a 6 to 7 months ahead of people starting to look to the sky and try to figure out what that big thing is coming out every night.
So now we have a political harbinger sign. The seed has been planted. And when that seed comes to fruition, we're going to be in a state of martial law, and police departments are going to be cruising the streets in MRAPs and armored personnel carriers wearing fatigues. That's when the public in general is going to know that we're not in Kansas anymore. But let's talk about the ones who have been following this topic. And they have not fallen for all this disinformation suppression. Are there some harbinger signs for them that they can follow in addition to this political harbinger you just discussed?
Okay, well, there are other things, so let's talk about that.
All right, let's do that.
Should I stay what I'm thinking now? Should I?
one thing I really appreciate is all of the help and support I get from those who follow our work and the useful leads they send us. And I want to talk about a recent lead, about an article that was recently published on the Fox News website. To set the stage for this article, I want to read a part of an email I got from a gentleman by the name of Gary Russell, in which he says the following about this Fox News article. I have a background in physics and engineering, in parentheses, naval architect, marine engineering, and aeronautical engineering, but no experience in astronomy, although it does fascinate me, and I do have a Meade ETX small telescope, which I am now going to learn to use as Nibiru approaches. Yesterday's announcement by NASA and the Spanish astronomers that there may be two larger planets in our solar system should help put the debunker morons out of business, I hope. Thank you. You know, folks, one of the things that is always on my holiday wish list is a Meade ETX. But you know how it is. Life is that funny thing that always gets in the way of your plans. Nonetheless, a Meade ETX tells me that Gary is serious about what he's looking at in the sky. However, what's more important is what he's looking at on the FoxNews.com website, with a January 17, 2015 article titled, Two Planets May Lurk in Solar System Beyond Pluto, Study Says. A link is provided below with the interview text, but for now, I just want to read the parts that caught my attention. There is evidence of at least two planets larger than Earth lurking in our solar system beyond Pluto. A new analysis of extreme trans-Neptunian objects reveals. After studying 13 of these extreme trans-Neptunian objects, or ETNOs, the orbits of these objects are different from a theory that predicts the orbits. However, the orbits of the ETNOs have a semi-major axis ranging from 150 to 525 astronomical units, and inclinations of about 20 degrees. These potential worlds would be bigger than Earth and would lie nearly 200 astronomical units from the Sun. Earth is one astronomical unit from the Sun. The new results may give way to evidence of the Planet X, which is a rumored object as far away as 250 astronomical units from the Sun and 10 times larger than Earth. With that in mind, there are three aspects of this article I want to talk about, beginning with the statement that, quote, the ETNOs have semi-major axes ranging from 150 to 525 astronomical units, end quote. For the benefit of those of you who are not into astronomy, I want to break this down into layman's terms so you can understand the significance of what is being said here. To do that, let's begin with the term semi-major axis. The semi-major axis is the longest aspect of an elliptical orbit, with a focus on each end. To visualize this, think of the popular amusement park ride, the Whip, where you have two big circular turning wheels at each end of a long rectangular track. When your car is traveling between the two big turning wheels, well, it's a pretty darn boring ride. But when your car swings around that turning wheel at either end, yippee! You feel an exhilarating whip-like motion. If we were to express the Whip in astronomical terms, it is a ride where you travel in a long elliptical orbit between the turning wheels, which are the focus points at each end of the semi-major axis. In space, just as in an amusement park, anything following that orbit path will change velocity as it whips around the focus points. This explains why the speed of Planet X depends on where it happens to be in its orbit. The next aspect I want to talk about is the distance between these two semi-major axis focus points. The article states that these large objects are in orbits that have focus points far apart, from 150 to 525 astronomical units. So now, let's take a look at the term astronomical unit, or AU for short, which is simply defined in this article as, quote, Earth is one astronomical unit from the Sun, end quote. Hey, works for me. Now that we've established that the distance from Earth to the Sun is 1 AU, let's put that in perspective. The average distance to the Sun for Neptune is 30.1 AU. In other words, what this article tells us is that the distance between the focus points of the ETNO's orbits is roughly between 5 to 17.5 times the distance between Neptune and our Sun. Or in other words, Bunky, if you're traveling down the highway and wondering how far it is to the next rest stop, doing the pee-pee dance for 150 astronomical units or more could be kind of tough, especially if the highway goes up some steep hills. That's why what really caught my eye was the statement in the article that the ETNOs have inclinations of about 20 degrees. So, let's reduce this to layman's terms. The planet with the greatest inclination relative to our Sun's equator is Pluto, at 11.88 degrees, whereas the inclination of the other planets in our solar system is just a few degrees at most. Therefore, the inclination of these ETNOs are approximately twice that of Pluto. Now, let's put this in terms of the maximum road grade used to build interstate highways today, which is 6% for most interstates. Granted, parts of older highways can have steeper grades, such as Jackson Hole, Wyoming, with a 10% grade. So, roughly speaking, ETNOs with an inclination of about 20 degrees are twice as steep as Jackson Hole, relative, that is, to our Sun's equator. Hope you have a large motor and a good towing package, Bunky, because I'm here to tell you, that's steep. Then again, there is Lombard Street in San Francisco. It is famous for having a steep, one-block section that consists of 8 hairpin turns. I know, because I've driven down this hill with this 27-degree grade. So when you're talking about ETNOs with inclinations of about 20 degrees, you're either going to find them in space or in San Francisco. So what's the point here? In our research, we find that Planet X has an inclination relative to the Sun's equator of about 30 degrees or more. This is the reason why I now point to what I believe is the most interesting sentence in the whole article. And I quote, "The new results may give way to evidence of the existence of Planet X, which is a rumored object as far away as 250 astronomical units from the Sun and 10 times larger than Earth." End quote. Oh yeah, isn't it just grand when mainstream astronomers talk about Planet X without insulting us? Oh lordy, I think I can die now and go to heaven. So, what's my take on this article? It's a trial balloon. It's there to explain why astronomers will be taken by surprise when we're all standing out in the street with family, friends, and neighbors, pooping our collective pants and pointing up at Planet X, which will be growing ever larger by the day. And for you diehard cynics out there, if you're saying, well, we'll just see what we see, I'd like to read for you a 5-star review posted on Amazon.com for my book, Being in It for the Species, by a verified purchaser, Paul Ranger Up, on December 27, 2014. By the way, the book now has 3 verified reviews, and all 3 give it 5 stars. But this review by Paul Ranger Up, ooh, it really hits me where I live. And it's titled, "Those Few that have had experience or perhaps military backgrounds like me will have at least heard of the subject. Now, Paul says, and I quote, "This is not a book for the squeamish or faint of heart. It covers material that most people will dismiss out of hand. Those few that have had experience or perhaps military backgrounds like me will have at least heard of the subject matter. I, for one, was given knowledge of this in the early 1980s, although the timeline was off by a decade plus. While I cannot validate the conclusions he draws, I, for one, will take them to heart. The system he speaks of is well known to our government and her allies. They have spent billions in preparing for this eventuality. That I can vouch for. I was always taught to expect the best, but prepare for the worst. And that is what I am doing. I would strongly urge people to read this information, do your own fact-checking, and make preparations. I know something is coming, and coming soon. This helps put a perspective on it that is unique and differs greatly from other writing in this subject." End quote. I'm grateful to Paul Rangerup for the review and the insights he offered. With that in mind, let's get back into it with Bob Fletcher.
Oh, give me something to hold on to as a venture.
Now I'm back with Bob Fletcher, direct from Mama Yablonsky's Vegetarian Poodle Clipping and Psychic Emporium.
All right.
I know that really grinds you, but I have to do some kind of disclaimer just for a little bit of protection here.
What's going to happen is people are going to be wanting to order products from there, so don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, just so we understand. Don't be ordering nail clippings from... for your tea bags or something. Don't do that.
Right. Mama Yablonsky is, well, just don't bother. So here's the point. Now, political stuff is going to be a harbinger sign for everybody that's intelligent. The trends are already here. What we're seeing is on particularly the western side of the Ring of Fire, and this is something that I talk about in my book, Being in It for the Species. This is a harbinger sign where we've got increased volcanism. Worldwide, fireball reports are just getting astronomical. The efforts on geoengineering with chemtrail spraying is at unprecedented levels. I mean, we're seeing all of these signs that we've been reporting for some time. Now, looking forward in 2015, what do you anticipate for these trends?
Okay, well, you're absolutely right. For one thing, volcano situation, actually almost every event that might be on Earth in terms of weather and geological disruptions and things of that sort, everything you could imagine has been increasing profusely for the last few years. We watched all the dead animals, multitude of dead animals, et cetera, and whales beaching themselves, and 10 million fish popped up dead out of one lake, and et cetera, et cetera. We saw all of that.
Mm-hmm.
My personal feelings is that that's already an effect, a remote effect of Nibiru heading back in. It's what I call the bowling ball effect, and that is it's heading back in, and it's banging through things and doing every potential, even knocking things off into a million directions at one time, and some of those are heading and zipping across the sky. Everybody knows, if you hadn't paid attention, if you kind of in the back of your mind realize that we've been having an unbelievable amount of shooting stars, falling stars, meteorites zipping across, and of course you had the bigger one that was not even recognized, and all of a sudden in Russia 2 years ago, whenever it was, it just zipped out from what they said behind the visual near the sun, so we didn't know it was coming. That's what they told us anyhow. So we have also Japanese volcanoes erupting, Iceland volcanoes erupting. As of a few weeks ago, and again, you know, if you didn't look into this stuff, you wouldn't know it, and I understand that.
Right.
A few weeks back, and it's still going now, I don't mean that, but it was specifically 45 volcanoes were acting up in terms of actually blowing their tops in a variety of conditions, but nonetheless what is classified as erupting. There was 45 of them around the globe simultaneously, and another 20 during that same period of time that was on the upper side of the watch list of being watched.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I understand that that's okay. If you're not studying these specifically, it would just go over your head. You wouldn't realize it. But these things are happening today, and I agree with you and your concept that these things are going to increase. You know, we have, where I live, unfortunately, is I'm between a rock and a hard spot over here in Idaho. It's not very far to Yellowstone.
Mm-hmm.
And a few months back, Yellowstone's activities increased in a strange manner, for, of course, swarms of small earthquakes, but the temperature went up so high in one part of the park that it melted the regular roadway, turned it into molasses, and it was so bad that they had to block it off. Now, this is a roadway that normally is used by tourists to get up to get a good closer view of the caldera that's bubbling there and the geysers that blow off every hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
So there are literally changes in earthquakes. They just did a new study that says that Southern California and San Diego area, et cetera, is supposedly acting strange enough that they're changing their watch on the earthquake area down there. We had the earth split in half a couple of months ago, about 60, 90 days ago. The earth just split open in South Texas, just above Mexico, for about a mile and a half, 20 feet across, and there wasn't even a recognizable earthquake in there, in that area. But it was a strange cracking open of the earth, big enough that if you had a car there, you would have fallen into it. We are having sinkholes worldwide where they never had problems before. They just had one a couple of weeks ago again that was on regular news, where they said, oh, gee, look at the wonderful picture of this guy driving into work and a sinkhole opened up and the guy fell into it with his car, you know. These are taking place all over. And when I was talking about being between a rock and a hard spot, Mount St. Helens has been grumbling and bumbling a little bit again up here in northern side of Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
They're worried about one of the other major volcanoes to start causing trouble again in Washington. And, of course, we talk about Yellowstone. When that pops, and it's ready, unfortunately, by mathematical analogy, et cetera, we're way past due with a possible major eruption at Yellowstone. That unto itself would be catastrophic, obviously. Now, the big concern I have, besides the potential of flooding and all of that stuff, when Nibiru passes close by, something that people hadn't looked at too often is what's going to happen to the 130 nuclear plants that we have in the United States.
I was talking with Matthew Stein about it. He actually wrote an interesting article called 400 Chernobyls.
That's right.
Where, you know, it takes a couple of years to cool these things down.
Yeah, yes.
You know, so even if they scram them, they got to keep them cool. Otherwise, you're going to wind up with an extinction-level event for humankind.
And that's that group of a problem unto itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. And it's also, you know, there's a certain logic. I ask people when they talk about, which we were talking about earlier, talking about the whether the government, when are they going to tell us, you know, or are they going to tell us, et cetera, you know, and if you put yourself in the presidential, even if you were an honest guy and a good guy, et cetera, and weren't stealing all the money for 20 years and putting it into your own survival outfits underground, if you were a good guy, you can't tell the public this. You just can't from a governmental position. You can't come out and say, here are the following outrageous things that are going to happen. No way to do that, unfortunately. My feeling is that I would rather know and I would rather understand what's going to happen regardless of whether it's bad or not. You know that when you go out, you might get hit by a truck, but you don't walk across the road and not look just on the basis that you could say, well, maybe it will and maybe it won't. I'd rather know what's coming, and that's the reason that I'm come forward myself on this. So what else is there? There certainly is a few other things that I may have missed that are already taking place. Something that, again, people wouldn't know if they didn't study it, is that the fact that the planets themselves, starting out at Pluto, and just, I'm still giving it a credit as a planet. It's been working as a planet for a long time. Let's not fire him. Anyhow, if you're coming from Pluto inward, they have been heating up. They have been changing in terms of the surface gas configurations on these different planets. They've been jogging a little bit and being affected by something in their normal orbiting configurations. They're all changing a little bit. And all of those storms taking place on the surface that they've never seen before. And, of course, the sun has been doing strange things now for the last, 5 years more than previously. And so, again, you have to say, what's going on? And you can look up if you look at study groups and astronomers, they're coming back and they're saying, we don't know what's causing that. And, of course, they may know, but they're not going to admit it either. And this is your bailiwick more than mine.
Talk honestly about it. You're French kissing the third rail. So you just don't want to do that. I mean, there was a lot of honest conversation about Planet X in the media until the mysterious death of Robert Harrington.
Yeah.
That was the event that just let everybody know, talk about this at your own peril. But on the other hand, astronomers are going, why is it planets like Uranus are having such weirdness right now?
That's right.
And this is being openly discussed. So they're seeing the perturbations and they're discussing that. But causality is the one thing that seems to elude the conversation.
Right. No, nobody's going to come forward. It's like the people that I get such a kick out of it. People are always referring to NASA. And they say, well, why isn't NASA saying this? Or why isn't NASA supporting this and supporting that and everything?
Never a straight answer.
But the point is, it's like, hello, listen, who cuts the paycheck for NASA? NASA is a government agency.
Right.
That's all there is to it, folks. And, it's like saying, gee, why doesn't the vice president come out and tell us all the things that are going on inside the White House? Not very likely, And the ones that step forward and with full intent of trying to clean it up, going all the way back to Kennedy, Kennedy had so many enemies at the highest level, it's mind-boggling. And they just reached a point where the bad guys simply said, we got to just kill him, period, end of story. And that's what they successfully did. And these folks, there's nobody in NASA. Every once in a while somebody comes out and says, kind of hints at it or something like that, but nobody's going to come out and say, hey, let me show you where it is or anything like that. And let me ask you a question. You may even have a good opinion on this. I'm assuming you had seen the picture that was said to have taken through it, one of the government telescopes, and it was up on Google, Space, where you actually could go up. And then a couple of days after someone put out the logistical location, the address of where to look on Google Space, it was blocked out with a big, stupid-looking square like a postcard, so you no longer could see what was there. It's literally like somebody had put a postcard in front of the camera and took a picture of it and said, this is what's located out there at that address. Have you seen that? You know what I'm talking about? Are you familiar with that?
You know, when it comes to information coming out of government websites that's of any use, I've really given up.
Yeah, okay, and that's right, and that's a good answer.
I mean, we documented the missing star panels and all of the gyrations they go through. You have spacecraft out there gathering useful information. About the point where that information is really telling, they always have these mysterious mechanical problems.
Right, all of a sudden they stop transmitting.
Something stops, so...
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to the whole conversation of Planet X, is you're never going to get a straight answer out of the government. They control this stuff very tightly.
Right.
And if you get someone that is a whistleblower, what I have found as a general rule of thumb is that they're going to be a one-trick pony. If you have somebody that claims to be a whistleblower and they keep showing up two or three or four or five times, it's either because they're so old they don't care, go ahead, put a bullet in my head, or they're paid disinformationalists. But if it's somebody working in the field, then it's going to be a one-trick pony thing.
Well, yeah, it's a problem. It is really problematic when it comes to whistleblowers.
Right.
You know, however, see, in my case, although, you know, there's just been three... This is back. Now, I'm going back to when I was directly in the middle of pulling the curtain away from drug operations and murder, assassination and that type of thing, money laundering and theft and all at the highest levels of our government, going into the White House, all right? And when I was literally in Washington and testifying relative to these things in Washington, there was three attempts to kill me, all right? Now, I haven't had that problem in about 15, 17 years now that I know of. I don't know. And the only problem with whistleblowers is there are a few of us, like myself, that happen to just be privy to things originally by strange events. But then, secondarily, what happened in my situation, when I went forward, because I was so blown away at the flagrant criminality, that I just went up like a dummy and started turning stuff in to trying to find honest people to do that to, and that was hard. Found one, Sonny Bono. And a couple of weeks before we were going to break open this huge investigation I had supplied him the material on, they killed him. He was murdered on the ski slopes. So
yeah.
Commonly what happens, there's different categories of shutdown. One is if somebody has real good credibility and real good information by whatever manner, maybe because they were involved with something, and the contacts through which they can expose it, they go up on a hit list to be removed. Now, like the next step down, somebody may have great information, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and qualify, but if they can be made to look the fool in the eyes of the public, then that's a preference to bluntly taking them out, throwing them out a window or something, or shooting them. So they would do what you're talking about, all the people that will come forward and try to make fun of it, et cetera, et cetera. And if they feel that they're able to keep somebody down low enough to where a lot of people are going to say we're goofy, well, then they'll just let us be goofy. So that's a separate category of control.
The bottom line question here, and we've really come to the end of the interview.
Go ahead.
Is, do you anticipate that in the coming year, we're going to see an increase in the number of people stepping forward as whistleblowers for disclosure about Planet X?
I would hope so, but I'm not sure about it. I think generally I'm going to say yes on that. And again, we the rest of us, those small numbers of us that are really actively out here trying to get people convinced and understand this thing, we unfortunately have to approach everybody so cautiously. It takes time. We need somebody, one or two people come out who are undeniably certified bringing the truth forward, all right? There have been some of those in other arenas before. You know, hopefully that will be the case. Like I say, we unfortunately with this the websites, it's so easy to be disinformed, misinformed, and put in the wrong direction from some jerk out there someplace that pretends to be something they're not. I have to ask everybody to just be real cautious, and that's the best I can say on that.
Well, I think that's a good note to close the interview on, too. Bob, it's been fun, man. From what I'm seeing from the Harbinger signs coming into this year, it's going to get worse, not better.
Thank you for having me on. And everybody can just go to my website and look up and see what we've got available.
And what's that web address there?
It's BobFletcherInvestigations.com. It covers all of my inquiries leading up to the point in time when I've done the new DVD called Incoming on the Bureau. It shows all the money tricks and everything they did getting into this thing.
And it's a great DVD, and I'd suggest everyone go out there and take a look at that. Once again, Bob, thanks for being on Cut to the Chase.
Thank you.
Well, folks, I think this was a powerful interview with a very powerful prediction by Bob Fletcher that, frankly, rates a 100% with me. So here it is. When we see martial law in the United States, whether it's because of Islamists or a false flag event, we will know that within a few months, everyone on the planet will be seeing Planet X. So between now and then, what are you going to see with Yowza.com? Now that I have finished my new FeelBetterOnYourOwn.com website upgrade, and published Survival Wellness Advocacy, what's next on my agenda? Well, that's a major upgrade for Yowza.com. For many years, we could just do occasional articles because things moved a little slower back then. But now what we need to do is switch to a blogging format, so what you're going to see is a WordPress front end. Meanwhile, all of our existing articles will remain exactly where they are. Just the front end will change. Consequently, what you'll see coming up is a more frequent schedule of smaller posts. And just like Planet X, you'll see it when you see it. Next up on Cut to the Chase, we've got a big interview with Suzanne Shumsky. In the last year, I've seen two Planet X researchers who have had their lives badly disrupted by the influence of malevolent entities or spirits. And what I have learned is that during the tribulation, it may not be the living who are quick to envy the dead. This is because many of the dead will have serious problems of their own. Why? Because there has been such a heavy clampdown on information that millions of people will die sudden and violent deaths without any understanding or preparation for what is happening to them. Consequently, many will be caught between worlds, or what is known as earthbound. They will not know that they need to go to the light, and this will be problematic for them and those who survive as well. Here I must tell you that I've always been focused on the more positive aspects of all of this impending death, in terms of near-death experiences, major out-of-body experiences, and shared death experiences. This, I believe, will be the principal mechanism by which our species evolves to its next stage. Because once you see yourself as an eternal being, you are permanently changed, and in a very enlightened way. And this is well documented. Everyone who reports a major out-of-body experience or near-death experience will tell you the same thing, that they have lost their fear of death, and that their value system has changed. Where they were once very material in their pursuits in life, they now become more spiritual. That is why I asked Suzanne to come back on for what will be a very substantial multi-part interview. In it, she's going to explain the 14 reasons why people become earthbound instead of going to the light, and what those of us who survive can do to help our loved ones find their way to the light, not only for their benefit, but for ours as well. So be sure to subscribe to our mailing list for notices on that show. And finally, for those of you out there who are feeling an ominous sense of dread about the year ahead, I want to close with a special note. An interesting thing that often happens to me is that I say something that resonates with folks and they quote me on it. The latest one is this: do not plan against what you fear, but for what you love. Because survival is not about holding on to things. It's about holding on to each other. And I'll leave it on that note. So until the next time we meet, remember Marshall's motto: destiny comes to those who listen and fate finds the rest. So learn what you can learn, do what you can do, and never give up hope. This is Marshall, and I'll catch you on the backside.
So take my hand, don't turn away. Life's too short to play the